Okay. Sorry about that, guys. A little technical difficulty. Okay. Psalm 28. Psalm 28. A psalm of David. Rejoice because of answered prayer. To thee, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to thee for help, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Requite them according to their work and according to the evil of their practices. Requite them according to the deeds of their hands. Repay them their recompense, because they do not regard the works of the Lord nor the deeds of his hands. He will tear them down and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. Amen. Amen. So this is another Psalm of David, obviously. And in this one, it's not really dealing with trouble per se, but it's more, well, it could be a reflection of the trouble, but it more has to do with his prayer life. And it's a psalm of rejoicing over answered prayer. And he does a bit of a compare and contrast between the righteous and the wicked. So like in verse 3, evil is in their hearts. So the wicked, obviously, there's evil there. But in verse 7, the righteous, they trust the Lord in their heart. And because of that trust, there's rejoicing that happens in their heart. And so let's look through this. Let's break it down a little bit and find some inspiration for us. It starts off by saying, Lord, to you, I call is another phrase for prayer, right? You're calling upon him. And so he's praying, and he uses this term, my rock. In the Old Testament, throughout the whole Old Testament, the rock, it always represented a deity. It represented God. And so this is unlike any other kind of image that's there. Obviously, we're not supposed to have any images, but the terminology rock in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, has always been used as a reference to God or to some kind of deity in that way. And we see in the New Testament, they don't really use the word per se, but they use the idea. Remember Jesus? He's the chief cornerstone. He's the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. Upon my rock I will build my church, and so on and so forth. So you see this imagery is clearly taken into the New Testament as well. And so he says, Lord, you're my rock. You're the firm foundation of it. And then, I mean, I should also say that the idea of rock, we're not talking about like something a kid throws somewhere, right? I mean, we're talking about a huge, huge, strong granite, which would have been, you know, quite prevalent throughout their terrain. And so it stands for stability. It stands for strength. It stands for like being higher, you know, because you stand on that rock or rocks in that way. And so that's kind of the idea. And then then he gets to the part about prayer. He says, Lord, do not be deaf to me, lest if thou be silent to me. And so, David is giving us a really good idea of what prayer is. Because I think for a lot of people, prayer is just one way. Prayer is just us talking to God. And so that, in that essence, the first part of that would be correct. Lord, do not be deaf to me. In other words, I am the person praying. I'm praying to my rock. I'm praying to you. And so don't be deaf to me. And so I think we all pretty much get that, because even today we're going to pray and we're going to say things to the Lord, you know, hopefully out of our heart. But then David, because he's a man after God's own heart, he knows that prayer is not just one-way communication, but prayer is two-way communication. And so he says, Lord, not only don't be deaf to me, in other words, I'm speaking and you're listening, It's the other way around. God, you're speaking, and then I'm supposed to listen. And but he says, but then if in this way, then you become silent. In other words, now you're not going to talk to me. And so that's a whole other aspect of prayer. By the way, you know, I've been asked a lot of times, you know, P. Sam, what's kind of the best order? Or, you know, when we talk about prayer, what would be the best ratio in essence? You know, should it be like 50-50? Should it be like 90% I'm speaking and 10% I listen? Or whatever the case may be? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's about 50-50, generally speaking. From what I understand from people that really pray, it's actually the ratio is much higher, in the sense that if there's more time listening than actually praying. And so I'm not at that stage yet. I'm trying to get to that place in prayer. I'm not there yet, but it seems like a lot of people. In fact, one of the guys that I learned from prayer quite a bit. You know, one of the prayer leaders in the U.S. that I met in Washington, D.C., and I'll never forget, he said, true prayer is not us reciting to God lists and things like that. He says, true prayer is waiting on the Holy Spirit. In other words, even the words that you utter to pray cannot come from your own heart. It cannot come from yourself. It has to be a pure response to the Holy Spirit. And you know, to me, it just made sense. You know, I mean, it just made sense. Now, when we spend a lot of time praying, which we're going to get to in a little bit, that's called intercession. It's a little different. Intercession is a type of prayer, but it's different. So a lot of times when we talk about prayer, I think what we're really saying is we're talking about intercession. We're making requests to God. That's one little part of it. But mostly when we talk about praying to God is actually more of God speaking to us and actually us listening to him and then responding to God by the prayers that we offer to the Lord. And it's really important. Or responding not just in prayer, but responding in action and obedience. I was told recently that some of our members or some people in House Church just recently came back to SP. You know, they were part of SP and they left for a season, you know, for whatever reasons, and they came back. And one of our leaders was telling me one of the reasons why they came back is because I was texting them throughout, you know, for, I don't know, 2 years or something while they were gone. And it wasn't like I sit there and I text a whole bunch of people. It was simply that when I was praying, and this happens quite often, when I'm praying, God gives me an impression, the Holy Spirit gives me an impression, and then I just act. In fact, sometimes right there when I pray, I just get my phone out, and because you know, I'm getting older, right? So I tend to forget a lot of stuff. I don't act upon it right away. And so, but that's what I mean. It's waiting on the Lord. And God speaks, and sometimes it's just God gives you impressions. And I just learned over the years just to obey the impressions. I got nothing to lose, you know. I send someone a text message, right? They don't appreciate it. That's all I lose. Who cares, right? But I could lose out on being sensitive and obeying the Lord. And so I just send them a little note. And they said that's one of the reasons why they came back to the Lord and to the church is, you know, those little messages. So you never know. And I tell this to people all the time. You have to always remember that people are always at the end of your obedience. Think about that. People. There are people, souls. So they are always at the end of your obedience. Like, it's not all about you. You know what I mean? And we can get so self-centered in that way. It's not all about you. And then your obedience, when God is asking you to do something, there's usually always someone else on the other end of that obedience. And so we need to get a bigger picture of what God's desire, what he wants. And so this is what he says. And he says, Lord, if you're deaf to me, right? There's this two-way communication. And if you're silent, if you don't speak to me, then I'm going to become like one in the pit. In other words, someone that doesn't know God. And that's, I mean, isn't that basically your I mean, think about it, your inability to communicate with God. Isn't that basically what a relationship is? A relationship is, a good relationship is healthy communication with another person. And so when we're talking about a healthy communication with God, that's a relationship. And so your prayer life is totally connected to your walk with God. And so your prayer, the way that you speak and you listen to the Lord, the way that you communicate with God is totally connected to how your relationship is with the Lord. And he says, God, you're my rock. If you don't speak to me, if you don't hear my prayers, then I'm like someone that doesn't have any relationship with you. I'm someone that's from the pit. And he says, hear my voice. Of my supplications when I cry out to thee for help. Supplications could kind of be very similar to the idea of intercession. And so now he brings up a whole other part of prayer. And when I cry to thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy sanctuary, do not drag me away. And so you can see that he's taking all the posture of prayer in all the right ways. And then in verse 3, the contrast is, do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity. Look at the end of verse 3. Who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. And so this is why we need discernment. Because it's the whole idea in the world, they look good. I mean, they're doing the right things, seemingly, on the outside. But Lord, their heart is so wicked. And that's the difference. And so he says to these particular, kind of level of hypocrisy, requite them, Lord, give them, you know, according to the work, repay them the deeds of their hands, repay them for their recompense or for their dealings. And he's saying, basically, Lord, judge them harshly. They're fooling everybody in this way. And so, Maybe David's trouble. Maybe David is dealing someone from something that was close to him. Maybe he's dealing with some of his leaders. They say, yes, sir. You know, all these kinds of things, but their heart is they're devising evil or something. So this could be like, I mean, this is my just a guess, okay? But it could be something where there's like an inner working or that they're the inner group of people and there's some betrayal going on. And so he's telling them, Lord, pay them back, you know, for their evil deeds. Because they, verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the deeds of his hands, and he will tear them down and not build them up. And it says in the same way, because they don't recognize that you are God. They don't recognize you at all. They don't see you in the bounty and the fullness of your creation. And this sounds a lot like Romans chapter 1, when Paul is writing about the world, that the world is guilty. You know, for since the creation of the world, these invisible attributes, divine power, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so they were without excuse. Right? For they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Right? Remember the whole passage. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image in the form of crawling creatures, you know, four-footed animals, and so on and so forth. So then it says God gave them over to their impurity of their heart. And so in that same way, Paul is telling us that creation is really a witness against us. And he's saying in the same way that they don't regard the works of the Lord. By the way, when you hear that phrase, it's referring to creation, okay? And so then he turns and he says, so verse 6, blessed be the Lord. Now he's rejoicing because he has heard the voice of my supplication. And so most likely, David did not write this psalm in one sitting, okay? So he writes, and he says, Lord, hear me. Oh, don't be silent to me. Da-da-da, evil. And then the Lord answers his prayer. So he comes back to the psalm, and he says, oh, God, thank you. He's rejoicing. Blessed be the Lord. You've heard the voice. Lord, you are my strength, and you are my shield. That's such a great picture. Lord, you are the power that works in me, and you are my defender. You're the shield around me. My heart This is in contrast to the evil heart. My heart trusts in you, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. My heart rejoices. And so you can see what happens to the wicked heart. Man, they get their just due. What happens to a heart that trusts? God comes through, and guess what? They rejoice. The heart becomes full of joy when that happens. And with my song, and then it's a natural overflow is to worship the Lord. That's why worship is so important. You know, I mean, I've often wondered, and sometimes, you know, sometimes when you can get quite cynical as a Christian, and especially when you're not really in the mood, right? You come to church, and it's typical. Every service, every church around the world is the same. You sing some songs. There's some Bible reading or something. There's some public prayer, and then there's a sermon, and then there's a benediction, and then if you're cynical, you can be like, oh, what's the point? I'm gonna come. Yeah, there's gonna be some people. They're gonna lead us in some songs, and that's really all it is. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's a declaration of the goodness of God. It's the holy natural response to God's working in our life. And so when you find a believer who does not want to worship, you're going to find a very struggling believer. You're going to find a believer that is really, really struggling in their relationship with God. Someone that does not want to worship God, you're going to find someone that's in trouble. Something is going on in their life. I'm talking about believers, right? I mean, the world does not want to worship the Lord. But believers, when they don't want to sing praises to God, there's something wrong in their relationship. There's something happening in their life. So now, as David typically does through his psalm, if you notice, the first part of the psalm is about him, and then he changes, and it becomes about them. And so this follows a pattern of David's. At the end, he says, the Lord is their strength. He's talking about the people now. So he's coming as a king, and he says, and he is a saving defense of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. And so he's turning to the people, and now as a king, he's standing and says, Lord, you need to save them. Lord, you need to rescue them. This is the only way they're going to survive is if you rescue them. Lord, you need to also bless them. In other words, you need the favor of God has to come over them, the blessing of the Lord. You know, and then he closes off and says, Lord, be their shepherd. The word in Hebrew is ra'ab. That's the word, is the idea of shepherd. And it means two things. It means, one, feed them. That's what shepherds do. So, Lord, feed them. And also the second part is govern them. And so isn't that basically a shepherd's rod, right? It leads, feeding them. It takes them to green pastures, but also governs them in that way. And so, Lord, be their shepherd. And not only that, not only feed them and govern them, but you need to carry them forever. In other words, you need to sustain them in this place. This is your presence, your sustaining presence is going to continue to lead them on in that way. Amen? Amen. Let's close our eyes. And so as David gives us this kind of very clear picture of prayer, let's spend some time and let's think about prayer. Are we only praying to God? Or are we asking God to speak to us? The other side of the coin of prayer. You know, you've heard me share this story many times, but you know, Peter Jennings was interviewed. Peter Jennings is an American anchor, newsman, journalist, and he was talking to Mother Teresa, and they were talking about the topic of prayer. And so Jennings was very curious about the prayer life of Mother Teresa. And he says, well, what do you say to God when you pray? And she said, nothing. He listens. So he turned around and says, well, what does God say to you? And, you know, and says, nothing, right? I listen. And it's this kind of And then she turned to Jennings and said, you know, man, if you don't understand that, I can't help you. And it's the mystery, right? We pray, but it's more of a listening that occurs. You know, what do you say to God? Nothing. He listens. What does he say to you? Nothing. Right? I listen. It's talking about a connection, an intimacy. Obviously, a lot is being communicated through the nothing. But we need to practice the art of listening. I think our prayer lives would be much more dynamic if we spent more time listening than talking. Yes, there's time for intercession. We're going to get to that. We're going to supplicate in a moment. But true prayer is waiting on the Lord. David gets it. That's why he's a man after his own heart. And so let's practice today. Let's practice the art of listening prayer.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the God, you do not faint, you won't go weary. You're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, you do not faint, you don't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the God, You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Let's ask God to bless our prayer life, our source before God. And let's learn to wait upon the Lord. Remember, waiting is not passive, it's active. But we learn to wait upon Him. We're ready. Remember, it's like a waiter waiting on a table, looking for anything that the customer needs. In that same way, we wait upon the Lord, looking for anything that our Father needs. Let's pray. Let's pray over our prayer lives. Let's listen more than we speak. Let's pray. Let's cover our community. They're battling through cancer and illness and also surgery. You know, you'll notice one of the names is not there. Mingmin, she came to SP many, many years ago, and she's been battling lung cancer. We just found out she passed away on May 6th. And so she was in China with her father. And so let's just pray for their family. I pray for the dad. The father lost his wife and his daughter to the same illness. Both died of lung cancer. And so let's just really ask for God's grace to cover them as we lift up these friends as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer-related, dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Thank you. Let's pray for our community battling with non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin, SP Tokyo. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House. Both of these countries, they're having spikes in COVID. Let's cover them. Let's cover our friends' ministry and ask for God's anointing and power over their lives. Let's cover our missions council and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our men and women to really listen to the Lord, to lead our church and our mission endeavors. Let's lift up. Pray for our local outreach teams, Igape, Homi, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, and SP Lights. Ask the Lord's hand upon each one of our ministries, and even some that are on hold. Pray they'll open up soon, but pray the teams will be built up regardless. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. And let's pray for God's hand upon us. Let's pray for the babies we're taking care of right now. Let's pray that more families and babies would enter into this family. Let's pray. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, over our intercessory prayer team, SPU, SP Youth. Pray for EG. Actually, our EG retreat starts tonight. Let's just cover our members there. Let's lift up. Let's pray over a house church meeting tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, and Westside. And let's pray for just the presence of the Lord to be with us as we gather, as we discuss, as we pray, as we minister to each other. Pray for our leaders and our hosts. And let's pray for real anointing tonight. Let's lift up our pregnant women within our body right now, for Vivian, Kathleen, Catherine, Yiling, Monica, Vicky. There's a few others. Let's just ask God's hand upon them. Let's protect the babies. Let's ask for especially those having complications right now. Let's pray for the doctors and the hospitals and all the things that are necessary that need to take place. Let's pray for protection and for covering. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just continue to pour out His heart upon our city, that people would come and turn to the Lord. Let's pray for revival here. Pray. Father, we thank you this morning. God, just thank you for the reminder, God, that we need to foster and cultivate, God, a deeper, Lord, prayer life with you. Help us to listen, God, more than we speak, God. And I pray that relationship and intimacy would flow as a result. And let trust and praise flow from our hearts. And we thank you. Watch over us, God. Watch over our families, Lord. Especially over Mingmin and her dad. Further, Dad, Father God in China, Lord, would you comfort their heart and those in our body that were close to her? Come, Holy Spirit, just breathe over us, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend at SP.